The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others were together. "I'm going out to go fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net because the large number of fish it had caught. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to Peter, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your blessed name we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I really love the season of Easter. The stories, the scriptures that we get, I think really help empower us, or should help empower us, to truly understand this resurrection life that we are promised and we are indeed given. We have up here in our stained glass this beautiful image of a lamb. And I want to encourage you to understand that we're in this season of Easter. Easter is not over just because Easter Sunday has passed. In fact, it's a 50-day season. It's not about the bunny. It's about the lamb. And we heard that this morning from Revelation. "To him who sits on the throne and unto the lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever." And we also heard from that first reading that Kelly offered us from the book of Acts, an incredible story about a guy named Ananias. And I want you to try and put yourself in the place of Ananias for a moment to figure out what it must have felt like to have a vision from the Lord like he had. The Lord calls upon him and says, I need you to go and find that dude Saul. This is before God had changed his name to Paul. You need to go find that guy Saul. And he'll be waiting for you because I've given him a vision too. You need to go lay your hands on him. And you need to pray for him. And Ananias pushes back a little bit at first. He says, well, I know this dude. He's not a nice guy. He has gone and gotten letters from the synagogues that gives him the right to take out all the Jews that he wants to who are following the way, and he can imprison them. He can do anything he wants. He's not a nice man. And God basically tells him, you need to do what I'm telling you to do. And it's an amazing story because if you notice the way the way Luke tells this in Acts is when Ananias makes his way over to Saul, the first word out of his mouth is brother. He calls him brother Saul. He has accepted him as a brother in Christ already because God has told him as much. We have a story here of Ananias being obedient to what the Lord has called him to do. And I think that that's a wonderful setup for us to talk a little bit about what's happening today in that gospel reading from St. John's gospel account. Last week, we spent some time exploring that story, so often referred to as the story of Doubting Thomas. And we talked about maybe looking at it from a slightly different perspective, that maybe Thomas wasn't in doubt of the ability of Jesus Christ to be resurrected just because he hadn't seen it. That maybe what Thomas was in doubt over was, why the heck are you disciples so daggone lazy that 8 days later after you've claimed to have seen the resurrected Christ, you're still sitting on your duffs behind locked doors? And maybe that's a little bit of an image for today's Christian church. That we're comfortable behind our doors, but we're not willing to go out and reach the community. Last week we heard that Jesus appeared to those 11. We knew Judas had already killed himself. He appeared to the 11. Jesus breathed on them, and he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Yet 8 days later, when Thomas shows up to see them, and they say, look, we've seen the resurrected Lord, and Thomas says, I don't believe you. And unless I see him myself, I'm not going to believe you. Maybe, again, Thomas wasn't doubting the resurrection of the Lord. He's doubting how these disciples could not be empowered by the Holy Spirit that Jesus had breathed on them. Why are they still sitting around doing nothing? Well, this week, we hear this story, and we find out it's the third time the resurrected Jesus has appeared to the disciples. And I don't know if you caught this. As I was reading it out loud, I said I wanted to count for myself. St. John tells us exactly who's present there. He said it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, that counts for two, and two other disciples. That's a total of seven folks. You notice this peel off? We've lost four more disciples since last week when we were in church. What's up with that? Maybe following Jesus is a little harder than some people really want to commit to. I'm not sure. But the fact is, we've got these seven disciples. Third time they're seeing Jesus. And I think what's most remarkable for us to understand about this story is what they're doing. You remember what they're doing? They're out fishing. See, they're no longer in the holy city of Jerusalem. They've returned to Galilee. And that's an image of something very important that we need to pick up on. They have returned to their old life. They have, in a sense, walked away from the promises of the resurrected Christ. They were in the holy city. They encountered Christ. They locked themselves behind the doors. Now, the third time Jesus is coming to them, they've not even stayed around for the holy city. They've done what they did before. They've gone back to their old vocation of being fishermen. Despite the fact that the Lord breathed on them. He said, even as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And he didn't say, I'm sending you out to go fish and sell fish in the market. He had a much, much nobler task for them. Dare I say, a much more special task to follow up on Miss Rinda's children's time this morning. But let me ask you guys this. Has that ever happened to you, that you know that the Lord has done something very special in your life and perhaps even called you to a new way of doing your life? And you set out with some excitement at first to try and do it, and maybe you find some discouragement along the way. Something happens that gets in the way. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to just fall back into the same old, going back to perhaps a way that's safe, maybe falling back into a way that's comfortable? And have you ever asked yourself, maybe that safe and comfortable way may actually be inappropriate? It may not be what God is calling me to do. It may not be the way that God is calling me to be. The Lord gives the disciples some instructions today. And take a moment to get this image in your mind. They've been fishing all night. They're probably tired. If any of you are familiar with fishing, even for fun, it's frustrating to go out and not catch anything, and they have caught nothing. The old joke is, you know, the only thing I caught this weekend while I was fishing was a cold. They've caught nothing. And here this guy shows up on the beach and says, hey, friends, you got any fish? Almost like he's rubbing it in. They don't recognize him at first. And he says something to him. He goes, look, I want you to go fish this way. Cast your nets on the right side of the boat. And I'm sure that they were like, oh, what is this? Who is this? But they do it. They do it. And the gospel writer tells us, they took in so many fish that they thought the net was going to bust. They couldn't believe. And they were big fish, large fish. It's about this time they start to realize what's happened, who they've just encountered for the third time. It's the resurrected Jesus. And it's interesting because it gives us a picture right there of obedience and blessing. That when we're obedient to do what it is that the Lord is calling us to do, just as Ananias was obedient this morning, when we're obedient to do just as the disciples were obedient to do, it results in a blessing so big that it's no wonder the nets didn't break, but they didn't. They brought in 153 large fish, and something interesting happens at that point. Jesus says, come and have breakfast with me. And John's gospel account tells us next, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew at this point it was the Lord. The Lord gives them instructions. They're obedient to the Lord's instructions. They are blessed by the Lord for following his instructions. And he asks something of them. He asks for an offering. Did you notice that? He said, give me some of your fish. And what does he do with those? He cooks breakfast for them. He served them up a breakfast. It almost sounds a little like Holy Communion at one point, doesn't it? Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. Very similar, this first breakfast, very similar to that Last Supper. God, our provider. It's a beautiful picture. When we're obedient to what the Lord is calling us to do, he will bless us for it. But with the blessing, he also expects an offering that we'll give back, not because he needs it. We'll give back because he calls us to give back, because he has bigger plans, better plans, plans that perhaps we can't even imagine. But I think that this story for this Easter season gives us a little bit of encouragement that sometimes the emptiness of life's nets could be discouraging to us. Yet through obedience, we know that those nets can be filled by God. That the darkness of light can give way to a dawn that includes a beautiful breakfast served up for us by God, our provider. That charcoal fires can represent hospitality from our Lord, turning the cold of ashes and rejection into a open arms of Jesus Christ. That the Last Supper can actually be transformed by Christ into something much more favorable, filled with good news like breakfast with Jesus. And so my prayer for each of you as we go forward into this week, as we continue to celebrate the third week of Easter, is that you keep your eyes open for what it is that the Lord is asking of you. That even when you're tired, even when the night seems to be long and you feel like God is nagging at your heart to call you to do something, that you'll have the power to say, "Yes, Lord, I will remain obedient. I know that you are my strength. I know, Lord, that I, even if I don't feel like doing this, what I feel isn't nearly as important as what it is that you're calling to me to do or to be. And I know, Lord, that you'll bless me for it. And I know, Lord, that you'll expect me to give back, that you'll expect me to offer. So I pray to you, Lord, that you give me the strength to give back a portion of all that you've blessed me with so that your kingdom come will happen right here on earth because of my ministry." That's a very important point that Peter learned today in the gospel. Peter, who denied Jesus three times on Good Friday, three times he denied knowing Christ. And Jesus reinstates him today. The redemptive power of Christ asked him, "Do you love me?" "I love you, Lord." And Jesus gives him an instruction, "Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "You know I love you, Lord." "Tend to my flock." "Do you love me?" Third time, the gospel writer says, Peter's hurt by that. But he answers him, "You know everything, Lord, and you know that I love you." He says, I've got a very special job for you. I want you to take care of my sheep, my lambs. I want you to feed them. I want you to tend for them. I want you to care for them." I wish I could tell you that Peter's obedience led to some sort of immediate earthly blessing. But that story doesn't really end all that happily for Peter, because Jesus gives him a little bit of prophecy there, and he says, there's going to come a day, you're going to be an older man, somebody's going to dress you the way you don't want to be dressed, and they're going to lead you somewhere you don't want to be led. And John tells us he was saying this to Peter so that he could tell Peter about how he was going to suffer death. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us, tradition tells us that St. Peter was crucified for his faith in the Lord, and that he refused to be crucified like our Lord because he said he was unworthy, and so his executioners agreed to turn his cross upside down. Crucified upside down, led somewhere by people he didn't know, didn't agree with him, but he remained true to the gospel of our Lord. So that might not be an earthly blessing, but I can promise you, it's not about the earthly blessings, folks. It's about the heavenly blessings. You will be rewarded. You'll be blessed on earth, but you'll be more than blessed in heaven by being true to the Word of God and to the Word made flesh, who is the Lamb of God. I pray that you receive it, that you do so in the blessed name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you do, let me hear you say, Amen. Amen. Amen.